chapter 14, verse 15. And the name of this sermon is Excuses. And verse 15 says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses." It seems that men always have an excuse when it comes to neglecting their duty, and especially when it comes to giving their heart to Jesus Christ and receiving Him as Savior. Now some people might doubt and ask, is it really my duty to come to Jesus Christ and be saved? And yes, it is. Christ died for all, didn't He? He died for your sins. He paid your price. You've been bought. You're purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And it's your duty to give the Lord His goods. Amen. You might ask, is it my duty to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today? My friend, Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He owns this earth you walk on. He owns the air that you breathe and the water that you drink. He is the Lord. Amen. He has power over life and death. He has the keys to death and hell. And He has the power to destroy, and He has power to give life. And it's your duty to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord today and accept Him as Lord of your life. If you're not willing to obey Him, then you've not accepted Him as Lord. But it's your duty. But as I said earlier, men always have an excuse when it comes to neglecting their duty. Satan has had 6,000 years to perfect the art of excuses. And everybody that's going to be in that lake of fire has used one of his excuses. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now I want you to look what these people want excuse from. They didn't want an excuse where they wouldn't have to go to prison. They didn't want an excuse so they wouldn't have to go to a cave or to a hospital. They didn't want to come up with an excuse so they can escape some kind of sickness. But they want an excuse so they wouldn't have to go to the feast of this great man. Now when men prepare feasts in our day, there's a rush to see who can get the best seats. But when God prepares a feast, the churches are empty. And He has to send His people out to compel people to come to His house so He can have people there. Do you think that God's offering you something that's not good on His table today? Huh? God offers you mercy. He offers you love. He offers you peace. He offers you freedom from sin and eternal life. And that's something good to dine upon, isn't it? Yet people make excuses and they avoid the house and the supper as if it was the plague. Let a man get an invitation from the Queen of England, or from the governor, or from a president, or some movie star to come out to his feast, and very few will not consider it. But I got a better invitation than that tonight to offer you. I got an invitation from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. God's Son's having a marriage supper soon, and you're invited to attend. Amen. If I know my own heart, I want to be there. I want to be there more than anything. I've missed some appointments in my life, but I ain't going to miss this one. Amen? I'm going to be there. And He wants you to be there. He wants everybody here at this assembly to be there. You know, I look forward to sitting at my Father's table and His Son coming out and serving me and giving me this food and sitting with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and with Mark, Luke, and Timothy. Amen? I look forward to that day. And that's what I'm looking forward to, and that's my hope. But if you're not there, you're going to be cast out of the kingdom. You know, whether it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth, you're either going to be a part of that marriage supper, or you're going to die lost. Amen? And look again at verse 18 of Luke 14. "And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Now that was their excuses. And I'm sure they thought they were pretty good excuses when they rambled from their lips. But you just look at those excuses. The first said, well, I bought me some land. I got to go look at it. I can't go to the feast. Now, if he bought the land, it's his. Amen? He could go the next day and look at it. What good is it going to do to look at it today? Why would he want to skip the feast of the Lord for us to look at a piece of land? That's not a good excuse at all, is it? The next one said, well, I can't go. I bought me some ox. And I got to go try them out. Now, if he bought them, they were his. If they were sorry creatures, he stuck with them. He could wait till the next day to check them out. But he wanted to miss the feast to try out some ox. Now the third one said, well, I just got married. I got me a young wife. I can't go to the feast. Now don't young women like to go to the feast? Don't they like to go? And if she didn't want to go, he could have went by himself. Amen. That's not a good excuse, was it? And it's not going to work in the kingdom of God either. These excuses are worthless when it comes to God. They might have thought that was acceptable, but they were not. You know, Satan, he's implanted in people's minds all kinds of excuses today to turn down the invitation. He says, now this is a good excuse. This is a good reason not to come to Jesus today. It's sad when people accept these excuses. I'm going to look at a few excuses that people use today. You don't hear too many people complaining about their oxen and their land today. They have other excuses. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, verse 15. And before I read that verse, I'm going to share with you an excuse you hear a lot these days. Some people say, I've tried to be a Christian, and it is a hard thing. I just can't do it. Have you ever heard that excuse? It's too hard to be a Christian. Now, do they mean that God is a hard master? Or are they saying that it's hard to serve God? Or are they saying it's easier to serve Satan, that Satan's an easier master than God? Is that honest? Is God a harder master than Satan? Now, it's not so if you read the Bible. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 15. It says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors are hard. Now, do you doubt that? Do you doubt that the way of the transgressors are hard? Look in the prisons today. There's men in the prime of their life that stuck there for 10 or 20 years, if not longer. And when they do finally get out, they're going to be branded a convict for the rest of their lives. Do you think serving Satan is easy? Ask them if it's easy to serve Satan. Go ask the poor drunkard that's hooked on their bottle, that's headed for a drunkard's hell, that's losing all they have, and ask them, is the way of the transgressor easy? Go ask the dope head that spends all they own on their dope, that's addicted to their dope, and they're losing everything they have, and they've lost their self-esteem, and you ask them, is the way of the transgressors hard? Is it hard or is it easy? It's easy, my friends, to carry your cross. It's easier to live for God and walk for Him. Amen? Some people say, well, that cross, it gets heavy. No, it doesn't. It gets heavy when you try to carry a load of sin with it, and then it'll weigh you down, and you can't walk, and you can't carry it. But if you walk, and you have a mind made up, and your eyes upon Jesus, and you just carry His cross, I tell you, it's a lot easier than the way of the transgressor. Amen. Amen. You go, you find the most faithful devil worshiper in the world, and you bring him in here, and we'll let him be a witness. We'll ask him, is it hard serving your master? And everybody here today knows down in their heart it's hard to serve the devil. Amen. He's a hard taskmaster. Master. Now let's get a witness. You know, the best witness about masters is one that served both of them. Now, my friends, I've been on both sides of that aisle. I've served the devil for 20-some years. Amen? All he did was brought me down. He used me, and he was killing me. And he was going to have me die lost and end up in a lake of fire. But then I switched masters. Amen? I accepted Jesus Christ, and He gave me peace. And He gave me joy. And He gave me fulfillment. He gave me the best friend that I ever had in Himself. And He gave me a church family. Amen? He's blessed me. He's been so good to me. And He gave me that cross, and I love to bear it. Amen. I love to lift up Jesus Christ. The only time it gets hard being a Christian is when you try to carry sin with you. One of the greatest lies that ever came out of the pit of hell is that Jesus Christ is a hard taskmaster. He's not hard. He said, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. It's the greatest thing you could ever do is become a Christian. Do you think it's easy serving the devil? You ask Judas. He served him for 24 hours and he had to cash the money back and he had to go hang himself. He couldn't stand it no more. It's not easy serving Satan. There's a lake of fire at the end of the way. Amen. Hey man, that's a poor excuse. Jesus Christ is not hard. Somebody used the excuse that God would not have me. I want to see what the Bible says, though. Look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. whosoever will. Some people think that God's like a theater, that you got to go, when you try to go in and sit down, that they'll drag you back out because you didn't have a ticket. Some people think that God's something like like George Bush when he has his big parties to raise his funds. If you try to go to one of those and your name's not on that list, they'll shut the door in your face until you go away. But the God's not like that. He has a big old sign above his door that says, whosoever will, let him come in. Amen? Whosoever will. Never say that God will not have you because he'll have you. Amen? Whosoever will. I'll stand up on that word. Somebody say, but I've sinned so much, my heart is too hard now. But my friends, it's a good reason to be saved if you got a hard heart. If you didn't have a hard heart, you wouldn't need Jesus Christ today. If you wasn't a sinner, you wouldn't need Jesus Christ today. Jesus Christ came to save the lost. He came to heal the sick. Amen? He came to save the sinner. You're who He's looking for if you think you're too bad. That's a sad excuse. I'm too bad. Amen? Paul said, I'm the chief among sinners. If He's the chief, we got hope. Amen? Because He was the chief. Some people think that I got to fix myself up. I got to stop doing this. I got to stop my drinking. I got to stop doing this and that before I come to Jesus. No, Jesus says, you come just as you are. You come in them filthy rags to me, just like that prodigal son that came to that father. And I'll wrap you in my arms. And I'll clothe you. I'll take them filthy rags from you and I'll clothe you in my righteousness. Amen. That's how it works. You come just as you are. When you join the army, you might go in with a silk hat and a $1,000 suit. And another man might go in with a rags that's not worth a dollar. But my friend, they're stripped naked and they wear the same uniform. And when you join the army of heaven, of Jesus Christ, He strips you of those rags and you put on His uniform. Amen. You come as you are. Some people say, well, there's too many hypocrites in the church house. Too many hypocrites in the church house to be saved. My friends, I don't ask you to follow a hypocrite. I ask you to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. And they are hypocrites in the churches today. They're probably outnumbered the sincere people today. But I tell you what, we're not falling after hypocrites. You know, Peter says, what of that man? And the Lord said, well, that's nothing to thee. You follow me, amen? We follow Jesus Christ. And if you don't like the hypocrites, then you sure don't want to go to hell. Because everyone's going to be there one day, amen? At the marriage supper, there won't be a single one. And that's where you're invited, amen, to the marriage supper today. Can you imagine standing before God Almighty and say, Lord, I reject the invitation of Your Son because, well, there's hypocrites that proclaimed Your gospel. That's a sad excuse. Another excuse you hear a lot today is, I would like to come. I would like to serve Jesus, but I just don't feel it. And that's the worst excuse there ever was. You show me one verse in the Bible that shows you the way you're supposed to feel before you accept Jesus Christ. Amen? It don't work. God says, here's my Son. You take Him. You receive Him and I'll save your soul. Amen? I'll clean you up. I'll do it. You receive Him and you'll be saved. And you're going to tell God, well, I don't feel it, God. Bear in mind, Satan changes your feelings 50 times a day. But he cannot change the Word of God. And I'm building upon the Word of God. If you're going to be saved, you'll stand upon the Word of God and not feelings. Poor old sinners, they start climbing out of the pit to Jesus Christ. And here comes Satan putting a plank. So here stands on that. That's feelings. And before too long, that plank falls. Because your feelings is going to change. We don't go by feelings, amen. We go by the Word of God and the promises of God. Look at John 5:24. John 5:24. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. Amen. I'd rather 1,000 times stand up on that scripture than all the feelings in the world. Amen. As a Christian, you have your ups and you have your downs. You'll stumble sometimes, but the blood's still there. Amen. It's still there. You build up on that rock and you trust Jesus Christ. It's His job to save you. You can't save yourself. Amen. That verse is just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. Believe upon Him and receive Him into your heart and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Thou shalt be saved. Feelings. God says, whosoever will, let him come. That's the invite. All you have to do is accept it. Will you stand before God and say, well, I didn't because I didn't feel it. God, I didn't feel it. God says, don't feel it. Believe it and receive it. Amen? Believe it and receive it. And God is faithful to fulfill His promises. Look at that prodigal son. I wonder how he felt walking that road back in his rags. I bet he didn't feel too good, did he? I bet he wasn't all that happy. He wasn't all that sure. But when the father got him in his arms and clothed him and cleaned him and put the shoes on his feet and began to feed him, I bet he felt pretty good then. Amen? You'll not feel right till you get right. Amen? Now one thing I'm glad about is that God doesn't usually accept our first negative answer. I'm thankful that God doesn't always accept our first answer as our final answer. Just imagine if God, every time God came to a person and said, you're invited to the marriage supper, and they come up with some excuse. God says, okay, I'll accept your excuse. And with the next breath, they're dead. Why let them come to the ground? Amen. But God, He's merciful, and He's long-suffering, and He's patient, and usually He'll keep on knocking and knocking and striving with somebody. But how long will they strive, preacher? Well, this might be the last sermon you ever hear. Amen. This might be the last time that Spirit ever pricks your heart. You could die tonight. You could die the next breath. You might not have another Sabbath or a Sunday to go to church on. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. That's why in the Bible you'll never see them talk about sinners having a tomorrow. Today is their day. Their life is but a vapor, and it's not going to be there forever. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. I read, you've heard of D.L. Moody, the evangelist. He was having an evangelistic meeting, and he finished his sermon. And he said, whosoever will, say I will. And this man said, I will. And he was trembling. And D.L. Moody went up to him. He said, are you ready to come out boldly for Jesus? He says, right now I can't. I want to, but I can't. He said, why not? He said, there'll be people, my friends will laugh at me. They won't accept me if I accept Jesus. I just can't right now. And that man came to the revival for 3 weeks straight, but he never would pray. Never would pray. Then the time went by, D.L. Moody got a call and he said, he's deathly ill. He's on his deathbed. We think he's dying. Would you come and talk to him one more time? So he went and he talked to the man and he prayed for the man. And the man was healed. He got better. So D.L. Moody came to him when he was better and he said, now would you come out boldly for Jesus? He said, D.L., I've made my mind up. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get saved. D.L. Moody said, well, that's great. I'll pray with you. He said, no. He said, I'm moving to Michigan. He lived in Chicago. He said, I can't be a Christian here in Chicago. I'm moving to Michigan. I'm going to settle down and then I'm going to accept Jesus. D.L. Moody said, man, he said, you don't have no promise of tomorrow. You don't have no promise going to Michigan. You could die before you get to Michigan. He said, I'll take my chances. And D.L. Moody left. Then his wife called D.L. back a few weeks later and said, my husband is on his deathbed again. He's on his deathbed again. D.L. Moody said, does he want me to come? He said, no. He says, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the Lord? He says, no. He just keeps saying, I'm damned. I'm damned. I'm lost. I'm damned. And D.L. Moody went to him. He said, he went to him and he had the death look upon his face and he just whispering, I'm damned. It's over with. I'm damned. I'm not going to be a Christian. I'm damned. And D.L. said, tell him about the love of God and the mercy that God has upon people. How God loves the lost man. And he said, D.L. Moody, he said, the summer is ended, the harvest is past, and I'm not saved. My heart is hard as a rock. I can't be saved now. And D.L. witnessed and told him about Jesus, but it didn't do no good, and he left. He said he tried to pray for him, but his prayer didn't get above his head. The wife called him the next day. He said, D.L., he died. He died. He said, what was the last thing he said? He said, the summer's ended, the harvest is past, and I'm not saved. He died lost. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to take the invitation. God says, here's my son. Here he is. Receive him. Say, I will. Say, I will to Jesus. If you lost today, it might be the last day. The offer is right here. Take it. Don't go by feelings. Don't make up no excuses. Don't let Satan put an excuse in your head today. To say, I will to Jesus. It means it from your heart. And God will save your soul. Amen. So who will have Jesus today? Who will have Jesus today? Say, I will. Say, I will. What excuse is he putting in your head today to say, I won't? Whatever excuse it is, it won't stand on Judgment Day. Amen. It'll not stand. You can take it today. You can have it today. You can be saved. So, say, I will. Let's kneel and pray. If you don't know Jesus, I ask you to kneel and pray. Ask him into your heart today and receive the invitation.